We believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father. We give you praise for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. All right, you can take a seat. Hallelujah. Okay, are you ready? All right, Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Now, I'd like you to turn your Bible there, okay? I want us to read it together. Amen. Okay, Proverbs 26, verse 17. Can we do that together? One, two, go. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Okay, so underline the word meddles, underline not his own. Okay, let me say that to you in Yoruba so that it will be clear. Amen. Now, Alabosi, do you get it? Alabosi, Odabi, amen. Enitomu Etiaja, do you get it? Did I say that correctly? Okay, petty gossip is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Now, this passage is very instructive. Very, very instructive. Now, the word meddles, as used here, translates the Hebrew verb abar. A-B-A-R, okay, abar. It means to overstep. To overstep. To go beyond your boundaries. Do you get it? To go beyond your boundaries. So, we see here a man who basically cannot mind his own business. Do you see that? Okay, so he should be facing his own, but instead he's facing that of others. Do you see that there? So Proverbs likens him to someone who takes a dog by the ears. Okay, so Omo Itiaja, do you get it? You know, the dog will bite. So that is what he's doing will result in much pain for him. So this shows clearly that God's word instructs his people not to be meddlesome. Okay? Do you follow that so far? Do not be meddlesome. Now, observe how Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, please turn your Bible there as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read from verse 11 of that same chapter. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 to 12. Now, Paul speaking here says that you might also aspire to lead a quiet life. Underline that quiet life. The KJV says, study to be quiet. Amen. Study to be quiet. Or be ambitious. Make it your life goal to be quiet, the Greek says. Now, the text is not done. It continues. It says, to mind your own business. Underline that. To mind your own business. Do you see that again? Underline that, okay? And to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Now, some Bible scholars have argued that in context, the business here refers to industry. Okay, that is working a job to get income. Now, that might be true, but furthermore, Paul is warning against meddling in other people's affairs. So that is his main point here. So let's stick to that. Now, we can learn a lesson or two about life here. Observe what Paul says. Paul instructs that we lead a quiet life. Verse 11, do you see that there? We lead a quiet life. That phrase, quiet life, translates the Greek H-E-S-U-C-H-A-Z-O. H-E-S-U-C-H-A-Z-O. The E after H is accentuated. The O after Z is also accentuated. Now, some people have asked, when you say that word is accentuated, what does it mean? It simply means there is a diacritical mark on it, what we call in Nigeria, in Yoruba, ami. Do you get it? So you have a word, then there is a mark, you know, either above that word or underneath that word, okay, just to aid with the pronunciation from the Greek to English. Okay, so the E after H accentuated, the last O is also accentuated, okay, which describes a state free from meddlesomeness. That's that word. A state free from meddlesomeness. It describes a state in which you are not running helter-skelter. That's that word. Here today, there tomorrow. Okay, you are in one place, minding your business. Now that phrase, mind your business, verse 11, in the Greek simply means to attend to your own concerns. Okay? To attend to your own concerns without interfering with the affairs of others. That's that word. Without interfering with the affairs of others. So you must mind yours. Are you following this? You must mind yours. Don't be one who pries into the affairs of others. The epistles warn against being a busybody. Okay? Against being a busybody. In his second letter to the same church, the Thessalonians, Paul speaks about some whom he calls busybodies. See 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 11. It says, "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner." Underline that, a disorderly manner. Not walking at all, but are busybodies. Underline that, busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they walk in quietness and eat their own bread. You see that? So it describes them as walking in a disorderly manner. Verse 11. Now that word busybodies, verse 11 of that same chapter, it translates the Greek verb. Now a very long word, so I'll spell it out for you. Periergazomenous. Periergazomenous. Did you get it? Okay, which means to waste one's labor about. Do you follow that? To waste one's labor about. To meddle. To go beyond proper boundaries. That's that word. That is to go where a person does not belong. Now here it is, still part of that definition of that word. To fixate, okay, on what others are doing. Did you get that? To fixate on what others are doing instead of doing what the person himself is supposed to be doing. That's that word. So this word describes a person who is officiously inquisitive about the affairs of others, is intrusive into other people's businesses. So instead of working and minding their own jobs, these ones are disorderly and meddlesome. Now the believer cannot afford to be a busybody. He cannot. Say the believer in Christ cannot afford to be a busybody. Okay, so we must learn the art and the act of silent, quiet living. Did you get that? We must learn the art and the act of silent, quiet living, focusing on our business. You see that Paul says similarly in 1 Timothy 5. Now I'd like you to turn your Bible there as well. 1 Timothy 5. Now there he speaks of young widows. Okay, young widows who are idle and nosy. Do you follow that? They are idle and they are nosy. Verses 11 to 13 of that chapter. Let's see that. 1 Timothy 5 verses 11 to 13. It says, "But refuse the younger widows." Do you see that? "For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith." 13. "And besides they," that is the younger widows, "learn to be idle." Underline that, idle. "Wandering about," underline that, "wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also what? Gossips." See that? Underline that word, okay? "And what? Busybodies." Underline that, busybodies. "Saying things which they ought not." So these women are prattlers. Okay, prattlers. They know the secrets of other people's households. All day they spread gossip about other families. That's these women. All day they spread gossip about other families, leaving theirs unattended to. I like the Greek. The Greek literally says they overflow with gossip. That's that word. Do you get it? They overflow with gossip. Foolish talking. It flows out of them like water from a boiling pot. Literally in the Greek. Phloaros. That's that word. Phloaros. So Paul tells Timothy, reject such ones. Do you follow that? He tells his son Timothy in the faith, reject such ones. So do you see so far that the Apostle Paul was averse to gossips, right? Busybodies and nosy packers. He wants Christians not to be like this. Now let's hear Peter on this. Are you following this? Okay, now Peter instructs in 1 Peter chapter 4. Please turn your Bible there quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Peter speaking there, he says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters." Underline that. A busybody in other people's matters. Now, observe that phrase. A busybody in other people's matters. That old phrase is just one word in the Greek. Are you following this? Just one word in the Greek. Now, a very long word, so I'll spell it out for you. A-L-L-O-T-R-I-E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. I come again with that. A-L-L-O-T-R-I-E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. Now, it's actually a funny word in the Greek. Actually funny. You know, it's obvious that Peter himself coined this word because no other New Testament writer used it except Peter. Now, let's examine this word together. It's a compound word. That means you have two or more words coming together to form this word. Now, it's a compound word from two words. And the first word in there is allotrios. That's A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-S. Did you get that? A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-S. Which means belonging to others. Used to describe what is belonging to others. Okay, something that is not yours. You get it, foreign to you, basically. Alright? And the other word in there is episkopos. Episkopos. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. Remember that word? Episkopos. Which means bishop. Remember that word? That's that word, bishop. Used for a supervisor. A superintendent. One who has the duty to oversee affairs. Okay? He has the role of oversight. So, put those two words together. Remember, it's a compound word, right? So they come together to form one word. Now put those two words together and then you have a bishop over other people's affairs. Do you get that word? Okay. A bishop. So two words in there. A bishop over other people's affairs. So he's a bishop, okay, but over other people's businesses. Do you get it? Okay, so Peter is literally saying, do not be a bishop over other people's matters. 1 Peter 4 verse 15. Do not be an overseer over what belongs to others. Simply put, mind your business. Do you follow that? You know, who says that Peter does not have a sense of humor? Amen. So, you know, you say, he's a bishop. Say, oh, great, what church? He said, over other people's affairs. Do you get it? That's his name of his church. Do you get it? The name of his congregation is Other People's Affairs. That's that word. So you see, Peter was quite funny. He coined that word. Okay? So Peter says, do not suffer because you can't mind your business. That's what Peter is saying there. 1 Peter 4:15. He says, do not suffer because you can't mind your business. God will not reward you for such suffering. Do you follow that? Because you brought it upon yourself. So Peter is saying here that don't leave your work, your own work, and focus on the work of others. How many of you think this is important counsel? Very important. And you see that our Lord Jesus Christ lived this way. Okay? Jesus was neither meddlesome nor intrusive. Do you follow that? Our Lord, he was neither meddlesome nor intrusive. In Luke chapter 12, for example, someone there asked him to help him with his inheritance. Now, I want you to turn your Bible there. Let's see that. Luke 12, verse 13. Okay? Luke 12, verse 13. It says, then one from the crowd said to him, now him there being our Lord Jesus Christ, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, an inheritance is a property left by a father to his children. Do you follow that? Now, the law of Moses mandated that the first son received a double portion. Okay, of the inheritance. You find that in Deuteronomy 21 verse 17. Let me read that out for you. Deuteronomy 21 verse 17, it says, but he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn. You see that? The firstborn, underline that, by giving him a double portion. You see that again? Of all that he has. Underline that, giving him a double portion of all that he has, for is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Underline from the to east. Do you follow that? So the firstborn child was to get double, are you following this, of the father's property. Then what was left was then equally shared among the rest of the children. Are you following this? So here we find probably a younger son. Okay? A younger son who wanted equal share with his older brother. Are you following this? As opposed to the law. So his issue was greed. Do you get it now? His issue was greed. So he tells Jesus, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. So he wanted Jesus to help facilitate his covetousness. Are you following this? But observe Jesus' response, verse 14 of that same chapter. But he said to him, man, amen, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Do you see that? Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Now you know this sounds like what those two Israelites told Moses in Exodus chapter 2, verse 14, right? Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Remember that story? Okay, remember they said that to someone whom they felt was not minding his business. Moses, right? You know, he had interfered in their fight. So they asked Moses, they said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? So Jesus then says similarly here. Do you get it now? He alludes to that incident. He says, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Simply put, kilon komi. Do you get it? Kilon komi, what is my business? Okay? I'm not a bishop over other people's affairs. You know, there were those who had that place in Bible days. The judges and the arbitrators, go to them. Amen. So, Jesus knew his place. Are you following this? Jesus knew his place even in the social sphere. You know, Messiah's rule was not political but spiritual. If Jesus had accidentally divided that inheritance, you know, the people would have made him king. Right? Remember, the Jews were already looking for a civil Messiah. Remember that? You know, I've told you that before. They were looking for a political Messiah, one who would rule them politically. But his kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. John 18, verse 36, it says that there. So, Jesus did not overstep his boundaries. Do you see that there? He knew his place and he stayed there. Now, Jesus lives this way to leave us an example. His followers are not to be meddlesome. Be like Jesus. See, I'm like Jesus. See, I'm a follower of Jesus. Therefore, I'm not meddlesome. See, I'm exactly like my Lord. Are you following this so far? Is it clear so far that the Bible teaches not meddling in what doesn't concern you? Is it clear so far the Bible teaches do not be a bishop, right? In other people's affairs? Okay. Now, let's apply this to the context of the local church. Hallelujah. That's where I'm going. The context of the local church. Now, you know that there is the universal body of Christ, and then there is the local body of Christ. Right? Now, they are not the same. There is the universal body, there is the local body. Now, the New Testament recognizes the body of Christ, and the New Testament also recognizes individual local churches. Now we have a teaching on this, why God gave local churches, so you may get it for more details here. Okay, so church can refer to either of the two, the universal body of Christ or the local church, depending on the context in which it is used. You see that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks of the universal body of Christ. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. Are you here so far? Okay, he says, for by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. Underline that. Baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. So what happens at salvation? At salvation, the spirit of Christ immerses us into the body of Christ. That is that word baptized there, okay? He immerses us, he places us into the body of Christ. I'm a member of the body of Christ. See, at salvation, the Spirit of Christ baptized me, immersed me into his body. See, I'm therefore a member of the universal church. Do you follow that? So what is being referred to here, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, is the universal church. Do you get it? So everyone who has believed in Christ at some point is a part of this universal church. Everyone. Look at Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. Similarly there, Hebrews 12, 22 to 24, it says, "But you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn." You see that? A line from a church to firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Underline that, from that to perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So to believe is to become a part of this heavenly Jerusalem. Okay? The church of the firstborn, where the spirits of just men dwell. Now, this happens immediately at salvation. Do you follow that? This happens immediately at salvation. You become a member of the universal body of Christ. But then the local sense of the church is quite different. Okay, so while you can join the universal body of Christ automatically at salvation, you don't join a local church automatically. You get what I just said? When it comes to the universal body of Christ, you join it immediately at salvation. Do you get it? It happens automatically at salvation. But when it comes to the local body, that is not automatic. Okay? You do not join a local church automatically. To join a local church, you have to take deliberate action. That is a local church. It takes a deliberate action on your part to identify with some local assembly of believers. So, the local church is the physical gathering or assembly of the body which is spiritual. Did you get that? Now, the epistles were written to individual local churches, individual local assemblies. For example, Romans 1 verse 7. Romans 1 7, it says, "To all who are in Rome." Do you notice it doesn't say to all who are in Christ? Right? Now, it's speaking to the church. But it says to all who are in Rome, a place, right? It says, "Beloved of God, called to be there," as italicized, so you may take it out. Saints, okay, called saints, underline saints. It says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." See similarly, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1 2. It says, "To the church of God which is at Corinth." You see that again? "To the church of God which is at Corinth." Underline the church, underline which is at Corinth. "To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, to all in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." Now, those words "at" and "in" imply a specific location. Okay? The church in Rome. The church at Corinth. So, saints gathered together in those locations. Are you following this? Saints gathered together in those locations. So, that was church in the local sense. Okay, people gathered together in the same place. So, that universal body of Christ, that universal church that we've seen, right? That the Spirit of Christ immerses you into, right? At salvation. Now, it has a physical, tangible expression. Do you follow that? So, the universal body is what? Spiritual. Everyone who has believed is a part of it, both dead and alive. Do you get it? Now, that spiritual body now has a physical, tangible expression. Do you follow that? What is that physical, tangible expression? The local church. Do you get it? That physical, tangible expression is the local assembly. And the New Testament recognizes that expression. You observe that the New Testament doesn't group all local churches together as the body of Christ. No, they are treated separately. Paul doesn't say to the body of Christ when he writes his epistles. No, he says to the saints at. Okay, then he mentions their location. So, Paul recognizes that although we are all members, right, of the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ, we are not all members of the same local assembly. Is that clear so far? Okay, so our local assemblies differ. Amen. Our local assemblies differ. Therefore, our church members differ. I mean, everything that's logical. Come on. Right? Our church members differ. Can we say our pastors also differ? Right? In fact, can we say our issues also differ? Amen. Different issues, right? In different local assemblies. Our Lord Jesus Christ also recognizes individual local churches. Our Lord, amen, the one who died and was raised, he also recognizes individual local churches. So it wasn't a poor thing, amen. You see that in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks directly to seven churches in Asia Minor, right? And Jesus related to each church individually. Amen. Individually. Now, these churches all had different locations, right? They also had different angels, that is, pastors. Okay? Notice, they also had different problems. You notice that Jesus addressed each problem one after the other from Revelation 1 to 3. Okay? They had different experiences. Jesus tells John, he says, to the pastor or to the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? Notice it doesn't say to my body, right? Come on. No, he mentions each church individually. Are you following this? To the angel of the church at Laodicea, right? To the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? To the angel to the church at Thyatira, right? Okay, so he mentions each church individually. Now you may see Revelation 2:1, Revelation 2:8, Revelation 2:12, Revelation 2:18, then Revelation 3:1, 7, and 14 for that. Okay, where he mentions each church individually. So although we are all the body of Christ, right? Amen. Are we all the body of Christ? Every saint, okay, everyone who has believed the gospel, right? Both dead and alive, right? Okay, so although we are all the body of Christ, we are not all in the same local body. Is that clear? Okay, Jesus knows that and Jesus respects that. So what does this mean? What is the implication of this? It means that Jesus expects you to mind your business in the local church where you belong. Do you get it? Jesus won't judge you for what you did in another ministry. Okay? He will judge you for your faithfulness in the ministry where you belong. Are you following this? Where you belong. When you read Revelation 1 to 3, please, when you get back, ensure you read it, okay? Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 2, and Revelation chapter 3. You find there that Jesus judged each church individually based on what they did individually. So what does this mean practically? This means that, let me say it practically now, in practical terms, Jesus will judge, redeem, that's a local church, right? Okay? He will judge, redeem differently from how he will judge Dazu Church. Are you following this? Not only that, he will judge a new creation church differently from how he will judge the Baptist church, even though we are all the body of Christ. Are you following this? Each local assembly will stand differently. That is what we learn from Revelation 1:3. Are you following this? Each local assembly will stand differently. So what does this mean? Very simple. The work in which you find yourself is where you should focus. Are you following this? The work in which you find yourself is where you should focus. Stop bothering about what other churches are doing. Amen. Mind yours. Okay? We are to focus on what God has committed to us, not anyone else. Okay, we have no business being overly concerned with what other ministries are doing. Face your work, mind yours. Are you here? Okay, look at how our Lord Jesus Christ explained this to Peter as we close in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. You see there that Jesus had just given Peter instructions and directions concerning his own business, that is his own ministry. John 21 verse 15. Let's see that quickly. John 21 verse 15, are you there? Okay, he says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Is that his business? His ministry? His job? His focus? Okay, now 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." You see that? He says it again. He reiterates. Look at verse 17. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Now, Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Underline that. Feed my sheep. Now look at it, verse 18. Now I want you to pay very close attention. Look at verse 18. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Speaking of persecution. Do you follow that? For the work of ministry committed to Peter. 19 says, "This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God." Do you see that? Okay, so verse 18 speaks of persecution coming to Peter much later on in the future. Now look at this. "And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me." Underline that. So, see this. Jesus had just given Peter the blueprint for his ministry. You know, many pastors pray to have this. Imagine knowing everything that will happen to you in ministry ahead of time. Think about that. So Jesus had given him the pattern, the blueprint for his ministry. He knew exactly what he was to do. Do you see that? And he knew what his end will be via the word of wisdom. Amazing, right? Okay? You think that you'll be content. But now observe what happened. Instead of Peter to run with Jesus' plan for his own life, he's concerned about John's life and ministry. Isn't that interesting? Jesus has told you everything about your life. You're supposed to focus on his plan for your life, you know, your own ministry, your own work. Instead of Peter to run with Jesus' plan for his own life, he's concerned about John's life and John's ministry. Verse 20, it says, "Then Peter turning around." What did Jesus tell him? "Follow me," right? What did he do? He looked back. Come on. Okay, so he took his eyes off the Lord, right? Off his plan for him, right? Okay, and he turns back and then he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now that is John, okay, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" 21, Peter seeing him said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Ah. Oga Peteru. Underline that. What about this man? So, Peter is distracted, right? But observe Jesus' response. Verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" Do you see that? What is that to you? You follow me. Come on. You follow me. Underline that. From what to me, okay? So, verse 22 is very instructive. That phrase, "what is that to you," is interrogative in the Greek. That is, Jesus is saying, what is your business with John's life and ministry? Jesus' instruction is simple. You follow me. Do you see that? You follow me. That word "follow" translates the Greek akolotheo. A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. The last O is accentuated, which literally means walk in the path I have set for you. Come on. Walk in the path I have set for you. That is, do what I have told you to do. Our Lord is telling Peter, you and John are two different individuals with separate ministries. Amen. Why should you be concerned about his own ministry at the detriment of yours? When you keep on focusing on what others are doing, you will become unfruitful in what you should be doing. And that is why, as a general rule, I don't try to find out issues going on in other churches. Amen. That's me personally. That is my way of doing ministry. Now, I have pastor friends, okay? And I never ask them for details about their churches. Never comes up. Okay? If they tell me, fine. Okay? But I'm not going around poking my nose where it doesn't belong. Are you following this? Now, I love the body of Christ. Amen. I really do. You know, if I didn't love the body of Christ, I wouldn't make my teachings available free of charge. okay, for everyone who wants them to get them. But my love and loyalty comes to Dazzle Church first. Are you following this? My commitment comes here first. Since I started pastoring this church, I've reduced the number of invitations I accept. I think you've noticed that, right? Last year, I only accepted one. Just one. Amen. Okay, I want to focus on what God has committed to me. If you observe on Facebook as well, I've limited how much I post. I don't know if you've noticed. You know, for those of you who knew me a while back, 2015 Josh Banks, 2016 Josh Banks, you know, yeah, very mighty on Facebook. Amen. Okay, right. But you know, now I just do a short quote and I'm out of there. Amen. Amen. That is deliberate. It will continue like that for a while. You see that the real work of teaching is being done in this church, right? Okay, and on joshbanks.org, our ministry website. You know, so some folks go on our website and say, ah, I didn't know you should teach like this. So when I read your post on Facebook, it's just short things you post. So they think that's how we teach. Then they go on our site and see a teaching series, 14 hours, just one. They're, oh, wow. Amen. That is deliberate. Why do I do that? Because that is my sphere of influence. Do you get it? So that is what I'm concerned about. I'm not sent to the body of Christ. Do you get it? I'm not sent to the body of Christ, the entire body of Christ. No, I'm sent to my local church. Okay? My local assembly. Now, the body of Christ can benefit from my ministry to my local church because I make my teachings available, right? When they are out. Okay? But those teachings are not primarily for, you know, the entirety of the body of Christ. Those teachings are primarily for you. Are you following this? They are primarily for this church. So, what I've done recently, I've just learned to face my work, you know, a little much more closely now, okay? Because it's a sad thing, a very, very sad thing to become so concerned and distracted with another man's work while neglecting yours. Amen. A very sad thing. You see, some people, all they do is to, I wonder how these folks have time to pray, honestly speaking, and to study. Because all they do is to talk about men of God. Other ministries, they say, pastor, all he talks about is what is going on in other churches. Can't you focus? You are leaving your own work, okay, to look and concern yourself with that of others. See songs as we close. Are you here? Okay, see songs of Solomon 1 verse 6. I want you to see this, okay? Songs of Solomon 1:6. Are you there? Songs of Solomon 1:6. It says, do not look upon me because I'm dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard. Now look at this. But my own vineyard I have not kept. Did you see that? Let's read it again. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, that is theirs. Okay, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Underline that. My own vineyard I have not kept. Do you see that? So, don't leave your vineyard and become a keeper of another man's vineyard. Do you get it? At the end of the day, you will become frustrated. That's the point of all of this. You will be frustrated. Focus on God's plan for your life, where He placed you. Is that clear? Okay, you see that? Paul understood this, the Apostle Paul. Paul knew what God had called him to do in ministry, and he stayed within the boundaries of that calling. Paul did not compare himself or his ministry with that of others. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12, quickly. 2 Corinthians 10 12, as we close. 2 Corinthians 10 12, it says, for we dare not class ourselves, underline that, class ourselves, or compare ourselves, underline that, compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Now look at this. But they measuring themselves by themselves. Do you see that? So he's speaking of other ministers. Do you get it? Okay. False apostles actually in Corinth. Do you get it? Okay. And comparing themselves among themselves are what? Not wise. What does Paul call ministers who compare themselves with other ministers? Who compare their ministries with other ministries? Who measure themselves with other ministers? It says, not wise. Do you see that? Not wise. underline that, are not wise. 13 says, we, however, that is Paul and his ministry associates, will not boast beyond measure. Do you see that? Underline beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. Do you see that? Underline from within to us. It says, a sphere which especially includes you. Look at 14. For we are not extending ourselves. Underline that. We are not extending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. 15. Not boasting of things beyond measure. Underline that. Beyond measure. That is, in other men's labors. But having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. Do you see that? So Paul knew his place. Do you see that? Can we say Paul is acting like Jesus? Right? Not the bishop in other men's affairs, right? Paul knew his place and stayed there. Amen. Paul knew his calling. Do you see that? And he was confident in the same. Amen. See, in ministry, know what God has told you to do. Amen. There is a beauty to it. Praise the Lord. Okay, as I told ministers who are about to start out, spend time praying. Do you get it? Just have a direction. Know that this is what God wants me to do. And just stay there. Amen. Okay, you will do ministry without stress. Amen. Effortlessly. Because you know that you are in God's plan for your life. Amen. Don't compare yourself with other ministers. Say, let's see who has the biggest cathedral. Ridiculous things. Who drives the best of cars? Who has more reach? Amen. More followers on Facebook. More followers on Instagram, on Twitter. Very ridiculous. Amen. Focus on what God has told you to do. Are you seeing these guys? Are you following this? Paul says, we're not like others. Measuring ourselves with ourselves. Comparing ourselves with ourselves. Classing ourselves with others. No. Amen. Okay. So he knew his calling and he was confident in the same. You know, it was enough for Paul to be in God's plan. Hallelujah. For his life. Okay. No need comparing himself with others. Praise the Lord. So we can learn from Paul, right? We can learn from Jesus, right? We can learn from Peter as well, right? Okay. Amen. Focus. Praise the Lord. Focus. You know, let me say this to you, that this year there will be a lot of distractions. I trust you've begun to see them already, right? In several quarters. This year there will be a lot of distractions. A lot of drama. Amen. Both in the Christian world and in the secular world. But we must be prepared. Hallelujah. We must be prepared. God wants us to maintain our focus. Hallelujah. God wants us to maintain our focus. We cannot afford to be distracted. No. What God has committed to us is too great. Amen. Okay? We cannot afford to be distracted. We are not to be dissuaded. Also, we must keep an eye out for each other this year. Amen? We must keep an eye out for each other this year. Ensure that none of your brothers or sisters in Dazzle Church is distracted. If they are, call them to order. Amen? This year, we are minding ours. What does that mean? When we say we are minding ours, simple. Minding ours this year means minding Dazzle Church. Follow that? Minding ours this year means minding Dazzle Church. Minding its leadership. Do you follow that? Minding its meetings. Praise the Lord. Minding its teachings. If you are convinced that the Lord wants you to be here, then stay here. Do you follow that? If you are convinced that the Lord has placed you here, then stay here. This year, you must avoid looking around. Amen. And what other ministries are doing, get busy with what we are doing here. Amen. Listen to the teachings here. Read the books here. Read the articles here. Amen. Attend the meetings here. Praise the Lord. You cannot afford to be distracted. Amen. Focus. Hallelujah. Remain where the Lord has placed you. Don't be a busybody going all about. Hey, pastor, I want to hear what another pastor is teaching. Then, for the love of God, go to his church. Do you understand? Just leave that Zoo church and go there. See, I'm focused. See, I'm focused. In the name of Jesus. Okay? See, I'm not made of some. Okay? See, I'm not distracted. I'm not dissuaded. Amen. You must be careful. Otherwise, like the one who takes the dog by the ears, it will hurt you. Okay? So do not be meddlesome. Also, when you hear scandals about other ministries, other churches, other pastors, mind your business. Do you follow that? Mind your business. You don't have to comment on every issue on the social media. Now, do you observe how I use my social media? Okay, so observe that and learn. Be discreet. Do you know I see everything that is going on? Do you know? I see everything. Let me tell you now. Every single thing. Every single thing. Amen? But do you ever see me talk about it? No. Amen. I'm just very discreet. Don't be distracted. These days, I just make my short post in the morning and I run away fast from that place till the next day. Amen. 24-hour circle to the next day. Do not be distracted. Are you following this? Do not be distracted. Focus on what God wants you to do here. Okay? Focus on the prayer here. Okay? Focus on the Bible study, the Bible teachings here. Focus on the fastings here. Amen. Focus on other believers here. Okay? If you are convinced that Dazzle Church is your home, many of you like that here? You're convinced that this is your church, this is your home, the Lord brought you here, right? It's not by coincidence, right? You know that the Lord led you here, and the Lord told you to stay here, right? Okay, so if you are convinced about that, then this is the Lord's instruction to you today. Amen. The same Lord that brought you here, this is His word to you today. His admonition to you today. This is His exhortation to you today. Do not be distracted. Focus on the work being done here. And you know, it's going to be a great year for us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you learn? All right, stand to your feet. Let's pray.